Welcome to this very special edition of Into the Arts. We're here with Shannon Laws. I met Shannon a couple years ago when I was helping get a community radio station off the ground, and she's been a big help to me at KPNW, and I know she's been a lot of help around town. But she recently decided to stop producing Bellingham Art Beats, which is a well-known local award-winning show, and I felt like I just really wanted to sit down and talk to her about what led to that decision, and then we'll talk a little bit about some other things. Shannon, would you share with us a little bit about what led up to this decision to stop production on your show?
Sure. First of all, I'm really happy you asked. After sharing on the website and on the page that the site was that season three was the last season, I haven't had one person ask why. I appreciate it. You know, they just kind of said, thank you. Thank you. It was such a great show. I was proud to be a part of it, something like that. But nobody wanted to know why. So maybe they understand what, maybe some folks just understand what it's like to volunteer for 7 years like I did, or for a significant period of time, and knew why, or could guess. But I didn't just, at this point right now, as the time of this interview, I'm ready. I really need a break from producing radio shows. Putting together and producing the season three of Bellingham Artbeat, I had amazing guests lined up, and it was going to be, you know, another boomerang show. It was going to be just a dynamite season. And as I came in, I usually start doing interviews about September, October, and November, and I'm hustling around. I'm getting the interviews together. Mm-hmm. I'm planning out the programs, getting various pieces of data together and pictures and bios and stuff like that all together. And then once you get your material, you know, you're editing, so you're looking at like about basically 4 hours for each half-hour program.
Oh, yeah.
and so I'm just doing it. And normally, I have this amazing sense of just energy and excitement. You know, I can't wait to see what's around the corner, and I'm looking forward to the challenge. But as I went into season three, there was this kind of change in the weather, if you will. There was just this feeling of heaviness. And it actually took me a long time to recognize what was going on and why I was feeling different going into this season. I just kind of ignored it for quite a few months. I had another project that I was working on with some folks in town called Poem Booth, that we were putting out a Kickstarter, and we were doing a chat book that I was helping out with. Just doing a lot of different things. And then somewhere around about February, I just said, oh my God, I'm just burned out. Mm-hmm. I'm burned out from all
you
of
realize.
This volunteer work, and it is no longer fun. Then I thought, okay, I have to test this, you know, because, you know, we get so much into looking at ourselves that we don't realize sometimes. You know, I needed a perspective. So there were some folks that I knew who volunteered throughout their life or various times of their life. And I said, one of the questions I asked them, I said, when do you know you're done with the project? Something that used to, you know, when do you know that you're done? When your cycle with that entity or phase, when do you know that you're done? And my mom, who's a volunteer counselor, She did it for money for people who are chemically dependent and grief, people who are suffering from grief and loss. She does it. She volunteers for that now. So I asked my mom. I said, Mom, what, you know, and so she says, when the joy is gone. And I had another person say the same thing. Yeah, when it's no longer fun, when it feels like a burden. And they all kind of were mirroring my emotions. So basically, I was going through that, and I just kind of did a summary of the last 7 years since, you know, what I've accomplished, what I've done, the amount of hours that I'm putting into it, then also the return that I was getting, which was purely emotional, and the experience alone, which, if you could put a money value on that, would be millions of dollars, but there's no money that comes with the experience of, but I'm just burned out, and I needed to stop, because otherwise it was going to be stop being a labor of love.
Right.
It was just going to be the labor of hate. You know, is this going to be something that I grudgingly did?
It would
did.
Become a grind.
Yeah, yeah. And who wants to talk to, who's going to open up to someone who doesn't even want to be there for interviews? It would totally ruin my vibe for interviewing folks, and I didn't want that to happen.
Right. So you've kind of shut down pretty much all your volunteer type work right now.
In stages. Yeah, in stages. I looked at what I was volunteering for and what should go, and I just kind of slowly got rid of some things. Mm-hmm. About that same time, I had a friend who asked if I could help her promote a CCC statue going up in the mountains here, which is Civilian Conservation Corps, recognizing some folks who worked on the forest during the Depression era. Mm-hmm. So there was a statue going up, and she wanted some help getting that promoted and all that and blah, blah, blah. So that really was my last big project.
Mm-hmm. So you've been donating time and volunteering and producing radio and working and writing. Mm. So how did you keep all those balls in the air?
Well, the best thing about this is that in 2012, I got laid off from a television station here in Bellingham. Mm-hmm. I have really been looking for work since 2012. And while I'm looking for work, right, your bills don't say, okay, we'll see you in 5 years. Mm-hmm. They keep coming every month, god dang it. So that's the thing about bills. They're very regular.
Persistent.
Yeah, they're persistent. So I had to get jobs, and I ended up getting jobs in the local factories here in town through temporary agencies. Mm-hmm. I had no creative outlet whatsoever in those jobs. Mm-mm. It's purely manual labor. It's take item A and put it in, shove it into item B, you know, and then do that a million times in one day. That's what you're doing. So those are the types of jobs that I've been doing since about 2013. And no creative outlet whatsoever. And I just couldn't survive in that environment. That's like no oxygen for me. Mm-hmm. So, and I also had skills that I wanted to keep active. Mm-hmm. I was super afraid that if certain skills that I have became dormant, that I wouldn't be able to waken them up again, and suddenly I'm 65 and working in a factory.
Right.
And I want to tell you, that is a streak of panic.
Yeah.
You know, I was scary like, thought. Holy cow, I don't want that. I don't want to, you know, be hunched over some assembly line until I'd have to probably go till I was 67. And I've seen people who do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I cannot be that person. I actually started to volunteer in 2011 because I had some extra time. I just got divorced. I was new to Bellingham, and I had some extra time. And so I thought, I'm going to volunteer at a radio station. And when I did that, I started to produce my classic blues radio program that aired Saturday nights.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it, and it was a lot of fun. And it was like maybe about 2 to 4 hours a week that I dedicated to volunteering. And it just made my day. It was a lot of fun. So then when I got laid off about a year later, I started to put more time, more energy, more thought into my radio work, because it was just enjoyable enough to, you know, I just kind of poured some water on it to see what would happen.
And see where you could go with it.
Right, right.
So then you had a few years of doing radio on the side because you still had to put food on the table.
Right. Yeah.
So that's really volunteering again. So it's like,
It just started. It started. It was the monster that grew.
So you got tangled up with community radio.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me more about community radio.
I think community radio is going to be, if it's not already, I mean, it's right up there with podcasts, really. A podcast is basically community radio that's streaming. And it's really the voice of the people. With the national markets taking over the airwaves and force-feeding folks particular music sets and news and, you know, I don't want to use the word agenda, but that's...
But that is what it is.
It's a national message.
Mm-hmm.
And as cold as technology can get us, I think podcasts and radio are one of the outlets where a community member can hear community conversation and create a warmth mm-hmm. that you can't get from a national signal necessarily, a national corporation. It's in, and when I mean community, it could actually be producers within your own town, mm-hmm. or it can be folks within your specific niche that you're in, like anything from knitting, painting, arts, because there's podcasts for just about every mm-hmm. type of topic.
We distribute programs that are all generated by community radio mm-hmm. and then shared across the country. But I always try to make sure that they're programs that are relevant to our neighborhood, to right. our city.
Yeah.
And then we have a lot of local stuff. So we try to be local, and I think most of the community radio in this town does. I think that people need to give community radio a try. It's warmer, it's more experimental. You're more likely to learn something new or mm-hmm. hear a new artist or new music yeah. or a new program.
Well, you know, like Bellingham's a medium-sized city. We're under 90,000.
Mm-hmm.
But this city is changing and growing constantly.
Mm-hmm.
So how exciting to learn about a new store or something that's popping up.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Exactly. I know you're a writer. I have mm-hmm. one of your books. So let's talk about your writing for a little bit. Hopefully you're going to be able to put a little more time in on your writing.
Yeah, I'm hoping. I'm hoping so. Because what I've consolidated is not only web space and internet exposure, and then also the cost mm-hmm. of all of that, of the storage and the supporting mm-hmm. and the special, your special website. You know, that costs money that I pay out mm-hmm. of pocket. Bringing that kind of exposure way down is helpful for me. It frees up some time. It frees up money. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping that some of this extra time will go into my writing for sure.
Mm-hmm. And you're still looking for, like, your dream job.
I would love, yeah, well, you know, the nicest thing about Bellingham and networking, and as I started to slowly get to know people, mm-hmm. you know, over the years. And I just absolutely love this town, and I love working with other people and connecting people. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I actually had an opportunity to get people that were looking for something connected with the people who actually provide that.
Mm-hmm.
And then just seeing how the city works. I would love to have a job where I'm working with a nonprofit or some sort of a community organization that's actively helping folks that would be, you know, my neighbors,
mm-hmm.
but then get paid for it.
Right.
Yeah, that would be nice. That's such an exciting concept. That would be a dream for me right now.
Yeah, and you have all the skills, especially for if you were doing public relations for them or even coordinating things, because managing multiple websites and just coordinating your own efforts is a massive project. And I know this because I manage, you know, two different radio station yeah. programs and two different radio station websites. And so I feel your pain. So I would hope that you will find your dream job
mm-hmm.
and that you'll have a lot more time to, maybe not a lot more time, but at least more time to spend on your writing, because I really do enjoy your writing. We did Thank an interview you. With you a few months ago about your book, and I've heard a lot of good buzz around town about it. So I think that I'm looking forward. You said you had some stories you've been working on for a while.
Yeah, I write poetry primarily. You can get all my books at Village Books. There's these four stories that I've been working on, and there was seven stories that I wanted to put out as a short story collection.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have actually four stories that I've been working on, and I, you know, there's some experience that I need to do some research and get some stuff written down, and just I'm hoping that those will develop into something that can become my new hobby.
Yeah, there you go.
My new hobby, yeah.
And then you said you were going to cut down on your websites and all that, but are you still going to have a website presence? And where can people go to find things like your past podcast, you know, your past programming and stuff mm-hmm. like that?
Yeah. Well, do you want me to tell you what I used to have and what I have now?
Sure.
Okay. Well, you know, I had this massive internet presence that was just perfect for a long time. And people don't realize how long it takes a long time to update your platform. Right?
Oh, yeah.
So you got, when I first started Bellingham Artbeat, they each had their own WordPress website where you could listen to each of the songs with a click. Mm-hmm. You could touch it and you get information about the show, and you could listen to each show there on that WordPress website. So that was three. And then each of those sites had their own Facebook page. So then now we're looking at six. And then I have a writer's page, and that also had its own Facebook page. So now we're talking about eight websites. Mm-hmm. And then I created the moniker for my radio program. She had her own Facebook page, mm-hmm. her own Facebook identity, mm-hmm. an actual Facebook account. So there was me, Shannon, and then there was my moniker, Boosie. And those were updated, and they crisscrossed each other. So then that's nine pages. And then all of these pages were connected to Instagram and Twitter, and I kept hoping, still looking for work, mm-hmm. hoping people would see, you know, look at this hardworking radio producer, let's give her a job, and look at these things that she does. You know, she's not just a factory worker, she actually does some amazing things here and is involved in the community. So I had that also going to my LinkedIn account. It also went to Google Plus, whatever the heck that does. And then, so it was going out to all of these other sites. So much. Mm-hmm. So much. So when I got rid of Bellingham RP, when I decided I need to take a break, this is the joy of volunteering has left me. It might come back. I know. Like, it turns out, actually, the joy for cooking has also left me. I do not like to cook. I'm definitely in a season where I just don't want to do that. I'm also used to be a big-time open mic person. I used to go to open mics and mm-hmm. reading groups. There mm-hmm. was in my heyday, I went to about six different groups in a month. And they were very helpful. And they helped me figure out some of my writing style and share share my work. You know, they have their place. Mm-hmm. Now I'm looking at just one website. It's writer Shannon P. Laws. It's a WordPress website. And through that one website, you can connect to the things that I've done in the past, which will soon be irrelevant. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to keep my radio files up, at least to the... I promised myself I'd keep them up till New Year's, and we'll see. I just can't figure out what to do with them afterwards, if mm-hmm. I should just leave them up there forever or whatever. And then I got rid of my SoundCloud account for storage and my Dropbox account. I got rid of all that. And so I just have my writer's website, my Facebook writer's page, and then I have a Twitter and an Instagram, and I've gotten rid of absolutely everything else.
It's got to be a load off, though.
Feels kind of good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm thinking maybe I might have some kind of weird withdrawal maybe in October, mm-hmm. which was my big month where I just go out and hunt for talent. Well, by then, I should have the talent, but I kind of am looking forward to just being a regular citizen for a little while.
We all hit that where it's just like, you know what, it's time.
Yeah.
I actually left a job that I'd worked for 13 years for that reason. When it got where I just had to drag myself out of bed and mm-hmm. make myself go to work, yeah. I realized it was fine.
Yeah.
Time to say, you know what, I'm done.
Yeah. Well, and then the other thing too, like I think we were talking about earlier, is I think we both like challenges mm-hmm. and we like creative ventures. But when you're working by yourself and you're doing a lot of it by yourself, mm-hmm. there comes a point when you can no longer keep it fresh. You're not getting an input from any other source. You don't have a partner really involved in it. Maybe a friend or something that you can bounce ideas off mm-hmm. of, but no one really understands what you're doing because mm-hmm. as a individual producer for all the massive projects like that, you're really controlling the direction mm-hmm. Where everything's going. So you end up getting this echo chamber. You end up creating unconsciously projects that are going to die. Mm-hmm. They're going to lose their oxygen. You know, they can't just stay in that bubble and stay fresh mm-hmm. if you are doing it by yourself.
Right.
And that's kind of the wall I hit, honestly, because I realized I either need to throw money at this project, get a grant, go national, which I had dreams of. Mm-hmm. You know, just this time last summer, I was thinking, my God, I see art beat Washington. I see art beat America. Art beat world. You know, I thought this is a format that I could take all over the globe. Mm-hmm. And I just frickin' did cartwheels in my mind over that mm-hmm. possibility.
Right.
Of how much fun it would be to have not just myself working, mm-hmm. but other folks that also caught the vision and mm-hmm. collecting stories that would be aired in local areas, but then also a national program, like the best of art beat stories mm-hmm. collected from around the nation. I mean, I just went off and off. My mind just kept tripping out on the whole concept of it. But that's where I was at. The idea of this concept either needs to blow up or I need to let it die mm-hmm. because it's at that point now.
Right, right. Where you either yeah. have to transition or not.
Right, yeah.
And that's hard to break out of that, mm. you know, and think in terms of, am I going to be local or do I want to make that push? But yeah. like you said, that takes money.
And you have to listen to yourself, too. Yeah. I'm not going to do something I hate, because that's what I do for 8 hours a day. I do something I hate. I yep. hate working in factories.
Yes.
I don't like it. But well, I love being on the radio, but it's time for something new.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's to something new this year.
Yes.
2018.
Where's the champagne?
Change.
Yeah. Is this an alcohol-free program?
When you get your job, yeah. we'll have you back and we'll do another interview and then we'll have champagne.
Champagne and toast.
Yep.
Champagne and steak.
Mm-hmm.
Champagne and steak.
Or there you
champagne
go.
And lobster. Something. That'll be great. Yeah. A nice, definitely toast to a new life.
Yes. To a new life. A new beginning. Alrighty, well, we will keep in touch with you. If you write another book, we'll definitely have you back on the show. If you start some new venture, we'll have you back on the show because you're part of our KPNW family, and we're going to keep track of you.
All right. Don't keep too close of a track. Give me some space for a little while. I need a little bit of space.
We'll give you a vacation.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for your time today, Shannon. I really appreciated your being willing to open up and talk about this, because I know that it was a huge decision for you. And I think that many people will miss Bellingham Art Beats. But on the other hand, you know, you have to do what's best for you.
Mm.
And if it's time to grow and change and mm-hmm. do something new, then that's what you should be doing.
Well, can I add one more thing?
Sure.
Something that really encouraged me when I was contemplating making this the last season in radio for me as a volunteer was I noticed just my eye caught at least 3 shows, brand new shows that are startups. 2 of them are video programs,
mm-hmm.
but they're locally made,
mm-hmm.
and they're doing something similar to Bellingham Art Beat, where they're highlighting artists, telling their story, sharing their motivation, and talking about their backstory mm-hmm. and what their events they offer to the community. So I saw that, and I know that there's hope. I mean, it's not mm-hmm. like I'm leaving a void
yeah.
in a sense. There's plenty of folks out there who recognize the wonderful art community that we have in Bellingham and in the Northwest in general, and realize these are hardworking folks that are not nationally connected with any syndicate or whatever. And they need to be recognized mm-hmm. and their stories need to be told, because mm-hmm. it's now more than ever in our history. So many people are hurting. And maybe I'm a little biased because I work with folks who work in factories
mm-hmm.
and we don't get paid very much and we work our dickens off.
But yeah.
folks are hurting and suffering in ways that I've never noticed in the last 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard a lot of moaning and groaning, but I think it's great when someone takes that chance and starts a business, opens a theater, writes a book,
mm-hmm.
paints a picture, sings a song, writes a song. Those people, we need you. We need mm-hmm. you more than ever. And I appreciate that you're producing programs that celebrate the artists. Thank mm-hmm. you. Thank you, Jeannie.
Thank you.